As you came into church tonight, you were given, I hope, a small stone or pebble. And you might like to take it in your hand now as we think together about our reading from John's Gospel. It's a strange story, isn't it? The religious leaders had caught her, they say, in the very act of adultery. So why was only the woman brought before Jesus? Were these trumped up charges because perhaps she was a bit too independent minded for their liking? Or was it a case of double standards? The man allowed to leave with a telling off, whilst the woman was brought to be stoned. Interestingly, even today, it seems to be women who are stoned for adultery in countries like Saudi Arabia. Anyway, as often in the Gospels, the Pharisees think that they've caught Jesus in a trap. Will he support them in stoning the woman, as though line himself up on their side against the ordinary people? Or will he refuse and be seen as a dodgy liberal condoning sin? Jesus, of course, does neither. We're told that instead he bends down and writes on the ground with his finger. What did he write? A word? A picture? A doodle? Or was he just taking some time to think or pray? The text tantalizes us but doesn't tell us. And then he straightens up and speaks. Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And again, he bends down and writes. And slowly, as the penny drops, one by one, they slink away, unclenching their fists, perhaps dropping their stones as they hurry off. Not quite the outcome they'd been hoping for. And the woman, just a few moments before, she'd been in fear for her life. Now instead, she hears words of forgiveness, the chance to start again, to do things differently. It's an interesting reading on which to reflect on this first day of Lent, as we begin these 6 weeks of seeking to draw closer to God. Think for a moment about that pebble or stone in your hand and mine. Clench it for a moment in your fist. How does it feel? I'm sure none of us would want to actually stone another person. We don't carry literal stones about with us. What about the things we do carry around? As we look into our hearts tonight, are there things we really wouldn't want other people to see? Is there unresolved anger or bitterness, envy or resentment, or unforgiveness against someone who's hurt us or let us down? Or is our anger turned in upon ourselves? Are we unable to forgive ourselves for something? Perhaps as we imagine Jesus standing in our midst, bending down and writing silently in the sand, we might allow our fists to unclench. We might be able to begin to let go of some of the hurt or pain or anger as we hear Jesus' words of forgiveness and challenge to us. No, he doesn't condemn us, but he does challenge us to change. Of course, it may well not be an instant thing. We might want to take our stone away with us tonight to reflect upon as we journey through Lent. The poet Robert Herrick puts it far more eloquently than I can in his poem To Keep a True Lent, which is itself inspired by our reading from Isaiah. He writes, "Is this a fast to keep the larder lean and clean from fat of veals and sheep? No, it is to fast from strife, from old debate and hate, to circumcise thy life, to show a heart grief rent, to starve thy sin, not bin, and that's to keep thy Lent. To fast from strife, from old debate and hate. A good recipe for our world, we might think. Maybe a good recipe for other organisations not too far from home. But our focus in Lent is not to point the finger outwards to others. Our reading from Isaiah makes that very clear. There is no place for pointing fingers or speaking of evil. But nor are we to spend Lent focused on our sins and shortcomings, or wallowing in guilt. Actually, I don't think that feelings of guilt are often a very reliable indicator of the things that really separate us from God. I might feel guilty about eating too much chocolate, but be totally untouched by the plight of the poor and homeless. And guilt isn't really very good about bringing about real change. We can watch pictures of hungry children on our TV screens and feel guilty that we have so much and they don't have enough to eat. We can feel guilty about the poor and homeless in London. But guilt by itself does no good. Guilt doesn't bring about real change. Instead, the source of real change is seeing and accepting God's love. Yes, fear can force us sometimes to do things differently. Yes, guilt can weigh on our minds. But only God's love can make us really want to change. Only God's love and his grace can give us a desire to choose his will. If this Lent we really want to draw closer to God and to turn away from the things that separate us from him, then we need time and space for God. Time to let God speak to us, as he spoke in our reading, not in condemnation, but in love. Because it's when we know that we're loved and accepted that we're set free to change. In a few moments, Tom will be inviting those of us who wish to receive the sign of the cross in ash on our foreheads. It's a sign of our desire to draw closer to God this Lent. A sign that reminds us both of our baptisms and of our mortality. Not to make us fearful, but to help us to use the precious gift of life with which God has entrusted us to the full. And so tonight I pray that God will help each one of us to keep a holy Lent and to use these 6 weeks to draw closer to him. Amen.